I want you to look at Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. And while I pause there, while she was praying, there's a blessed air conditioner vent right back there. I may have to move this bad boy back there. So let me read this to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. You see all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher. I'm your preacher. On me is a greater, a more strict judgment than anybody in the room. You're tougher on me than anybody here. I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to have you here. Logan finished out last Sunday our series in Psalm 100. I'm starting you in a new one in Psalm 103, so begin to read that and stay in that. From now till after Labor Day, we're going to be focusing on Psalms of Praise for the rest of the summer, moving into the fall. Psalm 100 that we just finished was a psalm about public praise, but Psalm 103 is more of an emphasis on a personal praise, a more private praise. And the indicators that it's more private or personal are by the use of the word bless and by the use of the word soul. So when we see Psalm 103:1, he says for us to bless the Lord. Growing up in the church, whether I wanted to be in it or not, I did. But I always heard, well, bless the Lord. You know, people would say something and they'll go, well, bless the Lord. And I tried to understand what that meant growing up. Like, how do I bless the Lord? I mean, he blesses us, right? How in the world do I bless him? Well, today I hope to be able to answer that for you. Since we're dealing with Psalms of Praise, blessing and praise go together, but there's this little bit of difference between them. And the difference between them is when I'm blessing the Lord, I am praising him, but I add one or two things. I'm adding thanksgiving and I'm adding the remembrance. You know, I can praise the Lord and there's no one like you. There's no one above you. There's no one before you. I can do that. That becomes praise. Praise is placement. I'm placing him where he needs to be, and I'm also placing me where I need to be. Because a picture of worship and of praise is of a bodily posture of bowing or lowering oneself. So when we get into the point of praise, I'm giving him praise for who he is, but here's how it turns into blessing the Lord. It turns into blessing the Lord because I add thanksgiving, and I add thanksgiving because I'm remembering everything that he's done for me. Recently, I was back in the Summersville area to do a revival. Started off as a homecoming. Then they call me back. Can we do a Saturday night and a Sunday morning? Then they call me back. Can we do a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning? Then they call me back. Can we do a Friday all day Saturday, Saturday night, Sunday morning? So we worked it out in that way. Going back home, there's people that I haven't seen since 1974 when we moved away from there. And me being back there caused a flood of remembrance. And remember, I made a vow that I wouldn't talk about stories while I preached. But I kept that vow. I did go there as the preacher, but I did tell stories before and after the service. I do want you to know that. That did occur. But I was able to go back there, and I was able to remember how faithful the Lord had been to my family. And I was able to give thanksgiving. So even in the praise and the worship of being there, I was able to turn that into blessing the Lord because I added two things to my praise. I added remembrance and I added thanksgiving to it. When you do that, it's gone from just praising the Lord to blessing the Lord. And he loves to hear our thankfulness of all that he has done for us. So we praise the Lord, placement, power, who he is. But then it switches to blessing when we add thanksgiving and we add presence of and remembrance. In a moment, I'm going to lead you to our invitation, which will be the Lord's Supper. If you're a believer and you're invited to be at the table, so if you're a guest and you're a believer going through baptism, you're invited to join us at the table. We practice open communion. But even here in a minute, it's going to be a blessing to the Lord because we're going to praise him, but then we're going to do two more things. We're going to add thanksgiving and we're going to add remembrance. And when we do that, it becomes a table of blessing for both of us. All that he has done, we remember and we give thanks for it. So blessing the Lord is remembrance and thanksgiving. Remember that. So we know that it's a personal worship through the word bless because it ends up getting about what he's done for me. We know that this is personal worship instead of public worship, private worship instead of public worship, because it is a picture of the word, oh my soul. It's talking about soul, the whole of man, very personal. You have a soul, I have a soul. But here's something you need to understand, and it's very important, because our culture today has a main emphasis on the body, where it says in scripture, Paul writes, it's good, you know, being physically fit has its benefits, but work hard to be spiritually fit, because the benefits are beyond this world. So here's something you need to understand, very, very plain, very simple here. A soul without a body is still a soul. But a body without a soul is a corpse. My soul is always going to be a soul. But if my body doesn't have a soul, it becomes a corpse. You need to realize the emphasis here that when he says, oh, my soul, he's not only talking about the spiritual part of him, he's also talking about the physical part of him. It combines together. This is how we know it's personal. Because when it gets to this point of using the word soul, it indicates the spirit, it indicates the worship, but it also is a double emphasis in all that is within me. All that is within me. That's where the combination goes. It's a double emphasis, my soul and even my body. The all that is within me phrase is visceral, if you're in the medical field. If you don't know what that means, it's your intestines, it's your guts, it's your heart, it's your brain, it's all the organs of your body. All that is within me, not only does my soul give him praise and remember and give thanks and turn into blessing, but my whole body does that. It becomes an inward place here. And if we're not careful, we'll get drawn in quickly that the most important thing about us is our body. And our culture would have that, to just not even give any thought to the soul whatsoever. But the psalmist writes here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and then all that is within me combines the physical and the spiritual together, that I'm here to be able to worship him. And I worship his holy name. In a real simple way, I can get more complex here, but I want to be real simple. He says holy. I remember growing up that I would think about holy as being perfect. But that's really not the picture. Holy means set apart. Set apart. His name is holy because it's set apart. There is no other name under heaven and earth by which a man, woman, boy, or girl can be saved than through the name of Jesus. Amen. There is no other name higher than his. Jesus is the sweetest name I know from an old hymn that I grew up with. There is no greater name than the name of our Lord. It's holy. It is set apart. Just like when we talk about the Holy Spirit, why do we call it the Holy Spirit? because the Spirit of God is set apart from all other spirits on the earth. We look at the Holy Spirit as having a capital S in the word Spirit, and then all other spirits having a lowercase s. But we call him the Holy Spirit, not because we're just instructed to do that, it's because the Spirit of God is set apart from every other spirit on the earth. And so when we bless his holy name, we are saying we're giving him praise, but we're adding two elements to it. I'm going to remember what he's done for me. I'm going to give thanks for what he's done for me. And by doing that alone, I have set him apart from anybody else that's ever helped me. Man, when I went back home, I saw a lot of people who have helped me. Just talking to Pee-wee here, and Pee-wee, you've blessed me today more than you're going to know, okay? And then we know the double blessing is you're from Campbellsville. But we went back in time here. His daughter looked at me like, you know all these people. I'm going, oh my goodness, know them. Well, we, you know, Julie and I had life with them, not just know them. And it made me, in our little bit of conversation, it made me look in my past, not only praise the Lord, but add two things, remembrance and thanksgiving. Lord, for all that you have done, that you have done for me. Bless your holy name, your name that is set apart in all of history, in all of eternity. There is no name any greater than our Lord. So we get to that point when we do that, then it is, this is what you have done for me, and I want to give you thanks. You and I may remember it through the old hymn, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. That's when you bless him. You can give him praise, but when you bless him, it's when you remember and you have thanksgiving in that remembrance. Psalm 103, verse 2, quickly. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, another repeat, and forget not all of his benefits. In three times, now I know you'll look at me and you go, preacher, you repeat yourself all the time. I want you to know that I know when I repeat myself all the time. So don't go thinking that there's a bit of dementia going on here. I got Teflon accumulating in my brain. Don't go thinking that's going on. I know when I repeat myself to you, because you got to get it. And then the psalmist in verses 1 and 2, he repeats himself three times to remember to tell us to bless the Lord. And we know blessing the Lord is praise, and we add thanksgiving and remembrance. Four times he adds the picture of remembering the three blessings. And then here he just comes out and says it. And don't forget all of his benefits. So how quickly we forget. I will say this, as long as I'm your preacher, you'll ask me to quit. I'll tell you I won't. But we live so busy, you can't even remember the last 50 miles you drove. If you can't remember the last 50 miles you drove, how are you going to remember what the Lord has done for you? You get so busy, you just don't pay attention. We don't have time to even stop and think and praise the Lord and then bless the Lord by remembering and give him thanks. So he tells us over and over in verses 1 and 2, in a very coded way and in a very blunt way, don't forget what he's done for you. Don't forget that. Psalm 150, verse 6, is something we started off with in praise today. And this is the very last verse in the Psalms, of all the Psalms. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let them praise the Lord. Remember, we've been teaching that praising the Lord is more than a thought and a whisper. When we come to communion today, we invite you to the table. The bride and the Spirit say to come. I want to remind you, it's his table, it's not mine. If you're here today, it's the first time you're with it, you come to the altar, you get the bread, which represents his body given, the drink, which represents his blood shed. And you get it. You can take it here if you want to, back to the seat. We're not going to do it in unison like we normally do. I mean, we do have those services where we do that, but this is not one of them. And the fact of 1 Corinthians 11:26 is a point about remembrance. in the, this is what Paul wrote. He says, for as often as you eat this bread, which represents the body of Christ, and drink this cup, which represents his blood, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I just want you to know that in this teaching, it's a very simple teaching, that the body has to have bread to survive. And we have to have blood to survive. But for our soul, the blood needed to be shed. And it was shed. He gave his son to us that we would believe in him, his only begotten son. Everyone who believes in him will not perish, but we have the gift of everlasting life. When we come to this table today, without you saying a word, you're saying he's Lord of your life. Just consuming the bread and the drink, you're saying that he's Lord. Not only are you not saying a word, not only are you declaring the Lord that he is Lord of your life without saying anything, we're also declaring when we take the bread and the cup that we're looking for the sweet return of our Lord. When you come to the table, we're going to look at our past and all that he has done for us, and we're going to give him praise, but then it's going to turn into blessing because we're going to remember and we're going to give thanks. But when we come to the table, we're not only going to look backward, we're going to look ahead. We're going to look ahead to his return, of him coming again. How do we bless him? We praise him. And then we add two things. We add remembrance and we add thanksgiving. Psalm 25:1, it says, to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. We're going to pray the PACE prayer today. It's been a while. Some of you don't know what it is. I'm going to introduce you to it and let you know, so we who know what we're doing are doing, and you have to wonder what's going on. Adrian Rogers began this prayer. It was his daily prayer. And then later on in his life, he shared it with pastors. I actually stumbled upon it and tried to make it a part of my life and shared it with you. So the PACE prayer, we refer to it as a body prayer. The P stands for praise. We lift our hands in praise to him. There's no one like him. And then the A stands for we accept. We form our hands like a bowl and we receive all that he has for us. The C is the one we have the biggest problem with in our life, is control. And we surrender control. Ask the Lord to order our steps. Our faith and trust is in him in every element of our life. And the E is we hold our hands out wide in expectation of his promises, the hope that we have in him. And today I'm going to add something to the E, expectation, but he's our everything. He's our everything. And today we come to the table, we praise him, but we move it to a blessing. We remember and we become thankful for all that he has done for me. So would you stand with me? Father, we lift our hands in praise to you. We thank you. There's no one like you, Lord. No one above you, no one before you. You are before all things. There's no other name under heaven and earth by which we can be saved. And we thank you. You are a great God. You are a good, good Father. And Father, we hold our hands as an empty bowl to you. We accept all that you have in store for us. Your love for us, an enduring, everlasting love. Your forgiveness of sin, Lord. Your mercy, holding off all the punishment we deserve. You hold it back. You give us your grace, Lord. We don't even deserve it, and you give it to us. You favor us. We accept your calling on our lives, Lord, the filling of your Holy Spirit on our lives. Lord, we accept all. We know, Father, that everything you give us, it comes through your Son, and we receive it, we accept it. Lord, we hold our hands in surrender that we get rid of control, we battle it. We fight people sometimes in conversations on who is right and who is wrong. Father, you order our steps. I rest in your timeline. Your Son said to his disciples before he ascended that you have the authority on the timeline of this world. And we, Lord, as crazy and chaotic as everything seems to be, we know that you're in control. It'll all be used for your glory. And Lord, our faith and trust is in you. We stretch our arms out wide, Lord, in expectation. You are a Father who is always at work. You're working on our behalf while we're here today praising, turning it into a blessing of remembering and giving thanks. You're working on our behalf. And Lord, we know that. We rest in that. And then, Lord, we also live not only in expectation of your promises being true, like Joshua said. Lord, we live in expectation in ministry and worship that you are our everything. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the A and the Z. You are the beginning and the end. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are all of it. And we give you thanks. We remember, Father, your Son, his cross, and the power of his resurrection. And you raised him from the dead, and you've raised us from the dead. We have crossed over from death to life, and we give you thanks today. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit and the bride, they say, come. The team's going to lead us. Let's praise, turn it into a blessing. Because we're going to remember and we're going to give thanks. You come.